What a privilege to be able to open God's Word and see revelation from Him. I think it's pretty remarkable that the Creator of the universe chose to share His message with us. I love to tell the story. And that story is one of those things that we know Jesus, and yet I think we need to have a deeper, stronger relationship with Him. I'm going to begin the book of John, the Gospel of John today. John was an interesting character. John wrote 5 books of the New Testament, and you're probably all aware of what those books are, right? Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. He didn't write Jude. Yeah, so Revelation. And he's the disciple Jesus loved is how he describes himself. In the book of John, you're not going to find his name anywhere, but it's really well understood and historically factual that John was the author of this book. And anytime he talked about himself, it was the disciple that Jesus loved. And John was the one that when Christ was on the cross, he entrusted his mother Mary to John. He says, "Behold your son, behold your mother." And then John cared for Mary through the rest of her life. John lived a long, long life. The rest of the disciples died a martyr's death earlier. John was boiled in hot oil, according to tradition, and survived that. And then because people were concerned, the governmental officials were concerned that this is going to be too strong of a testimony to the world. It's like, we tried to kill this guy and we couldn't kill him. They banished him to an island called Patmos. And from that island where he's banished, and you're thinking, okay, his ministry years are over. They've tucked him away in a cave. There's no way that he can share anything else with the world. An angel comes to him and God reveals to him a vision, and we get the book of Revelation from that. So John had a very close relationship with God. He tells us why he writes some of his books. Some of the books in the Bible, we kind of just have to keep going back to 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God, is God-breathed, and it's profitable and useful for doctrine, correction, teaching, instruction, training in righteousness, so that the person of God can be thoroughly equipped for all good things. We know that all of Scripture was written for God's people to be equipped for every good work. What happened here?
Pepper the Wonder Dog?
I don't know. Did Pepper come by? Let's get this back to you. Is that easier to see? In the book of John, John tells us in chapter 20, verse 31, why he wrote this book. He talked about some of the things that he included. He mentioned in verse 30 that he couldn't possibly have written everything about Christ because there's too much. But he specifically chose things to write, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in His name. So he wrote for a couple specific purposes. First of all, that we can believe. Now, if all Scripture is written so that the person of God can be thoroughly equipped, this is not just written as an evangelistic tool so that people can believe for the first time. It's written for us so that we can strengthen our belief, so that we can grow in our understanding of Christ. Believing that you might have life. Those are a couple of themes that you're going to see throughout the book of John. Belief, life. It just keeps coming up. Each one of those is in there dozens of times. Another introduction that John gives, in 1 John he made it a little bit easier to find. He put his introduction at the beginning of the book, in his purpose statement at the beginning of the book. So 1 John 1:1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life." He used that same word that he used in the Gospel of John. He sees Jesus as word. And he says, we've touched him. We've heard him. We've seen him. We've spent time with him. John was an eyewitness. He wasn't somebody that was writing like Luke describes how he writes. It's like, I researched this really well. And I put together a well-documented, researched work that would explain Jesus. John gives us that he saw Jesus. He touched Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. He intimately knew Jesus. And this was the disciple Jesus loved. He was one of the inner circle. He's one that could give us some of the more personal conversations with Jesus. The other Gospels give us a glimpse of that, but John had even more depth with that. And I think for one reason, you know, to see John's perspective of who Jesus is, it's because he saw, touched, felt, heard. He knew Jesus. And in 1 John 1:2, the life appeared. He calls Jesus life. He calls Jesus word. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Life doesn't exist apart from God. Verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. He keeps telling us, you know, I know this. I saw it. I heard it. I was there. So that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Is that pretty beautiful? I mean, John is saying, I know Jesus, and I want you to know Jesus. He's trying to draw us in to a closer relationship with his best friend. So back to the book of John, John chapter 20, verse 31. And we're going to see this again and again for I don't know how many more months. It'll be a while. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So if you're not already there, the book of John starts on page 1618 in the Pew Bibles. And most of you probably have these first five verses memorized, I'm assuming. If you don't, you should. We'll get there too. But John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. It starts out in the beginning. And I don't think that's a mistake. That's exact wording that he used back in Genesis, isn't it? This beginning. What is the beginning? Well, in Proverbs it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. John's saying the same thing. He wants us to know the Holy One. He wants us to know the Word. He wants us to know Jesus. He wants us to know God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So John's starting out from the very beginning. When he writes his gospel, he says, the good news, the gospel, the wonderful words of Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus, started at the beginning, even before the beginning. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11 tells us, and Mort and I talked about this a little bit on the phone yesterday, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. You know, nobody else, I mean, if I say chocolate, it doesn't appear in my hand or anywhere else. God can take out of nothing and make something happen and something appear. We understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, there's a lot of things that are invisible that we can't see with our naked eyes, that we can manipulate. And, you know, they were able to create an atomic bomb with things that really are too small for us to see. But they still existed. God can take something that doesn't exist and make it something. That's mind-boggling at best. In Romans, Paul tells us, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. We're talking about this God that can just speak word and there's something there. He says, let there be light. Wow. The psalmist tells us, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens are the work of your hands. We've got and I can't grab all of the scriptures that talk about how from the very beginning God was the one that was the maker. And John wants to introduce us to that. So in the very beginning, he says, in the beginning. This is how he starts his gospel. This is the good news about Jesus, in the beginning. Well, what about in the beginning? These were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. why do we care about the beginning? Well, it's going to help us if we understand that this Jesus that came to earth as a baby in a manger is the same person that spoke and the stars appeared. He spoke and the world came into existence. This is the God that John wants to introduce us to. This is the God that John spent time with and saw and touched and heard. And in the beginning was the Word, was the Logos. I love the Spanish translation. In the beginning was the verbos, was the verb, the action word. That God is a word. In the beginning was the Word. This is a word that was with God, okay? Now it's sounding like there's two different people here. There's the Word, and the Word was with God. So if the Word's with God, there's the Word and there's God, right? Does that make sense? You've got two. And the Word was God. Are we confused yet? Okay? He was with God in the beginning. And John's going to tell us later about the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that's going to come after Christ goes to heaven and is with the Father, and he sends the Counselor for us, and he's going to dwell in us. And so we can learn a lot about all three persons of the Godhood. And we, as believers that have studied Scripture, we understand that there's God who's the Father. There's God the Son, the only begotten. There's God the Holy Spirit. And each one of them are individual person, and yet there's only one God. And people try to come up with ways to explain that, and I've heard the egg theory about you've got the shell and the white and the yolk and the whatever. You know, you can separate those. There's one God. We believe in one God. Anyone that tries to say there's more than one God, they're not looking at Scripture. They're not following Holy Word. And yet, there's still, in essence, in person, there's three different manifestations. And I don't know how to explain it perfectly, and I'm not going to try to. I do know that we serve a God that's way more intricate and complicated than we can imagine. We can try to come up with explanations. We can get all of our doctrine right, but that's not why this was written. Who remembers why the book of John was written?
You might believe.
That you can know the Christ and that you can believe and have life. These are written. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name, in Jesus' name. Life comes through Jesus. God chose to reveal Himself to us through Jesus. I think we should be pretty pleased about that. If He'd shown up in His full glory, who could stand? And yet, in Jesus, He's in His full glory. John 1:3. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. John likes to do the positive affirmation and then the negative of that as well. He's like, all things were made through Him. And if there's anything that is a thing, it was made through Him. All things. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Now, that can create some problems for me as I start thinking through some of the things that I'm aware of. Satan. Demonic spirits. All created by God. Humans that do atrocious acts. Created by God.
There were fallen angels, weren't they?
Well, he didn't create them fallen.
No, they were.
They made a choice.
Lucifer was perfect too.
Yeah. And so all things are created by Him. If there's anything that's a thing, it's created by Him. Time, space, energy, whatever we can think of. All of creation. Made by the Word. Made by the One, Holy One, Jesus Christ. These were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. In this beginning, where the Word shows up, that didn't happen in the manger, did it? He was there before creation. He had to be there before creation to create. He made everything. This is a God that I think oftentimes we get a little too chummy with. It's like, He's my buddy. He's my bro. You know, and I know He wants us to approach the throne boldly, and yet the only reason I can is because of the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that chose to lay Himself down, His life for mine, pay the penalty that I deserve. And we can believe in this Messiah, this Christ, this Son of God, and have life. But we've got to know who He is. The easy with the hard, okay? He's God. He's Jesus. He created everything. Good, bad, ugly, all of it. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. It's remarkable to me that when Christ was crucified on the cross, all life didn't just cease. In Him was life. And part of His creation rejected Him and took His life. And yet the life didn't cease, did it? Because God is God. He's a God eternal. Everlasting to everlasting, you're God. So this life, He says it's the light of all mankind. I think anybody that is alive and aware recognizes that they didn't make themselves alive. Whatever we can create, if we're trying to make a work of art, if we're making a quilt or working on furniture, woodwork, paintings, trying to make a straight line when you're shoveling snow, whatever it is, you get out there and you're trying to do something to make your world a better place and to create an environment that's pleasant and fun to be with. Chocolate chip cookies are fun to create, except I can't make them out of nothing. First of all, I wouldn't have any life if it weren't for Christ. I wouldn't have any ingredients if He hadn't made everything. So when you take that salt and that baking soda, and when you take the flour and the sugar and the brown sugar and the butter and the vanilla, and you mix it all up, and the eggs, and you that's a remarkable right there, the whole egg thing. Because God is a creator God that created beings that can procreate. What a beautiful God that thinks this stuff up. He made life.
His promises are steadfast and sure too.
And never failing. These are written. This is written about the life, the light, the Word, all of these things. This Creator that we are to know. They're written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in His name. Now there's a whole lot of other things that are written in the book of John that explain to us more about Jesus. John selectively chooses 7 at least, depends on how you count them, maybe 8 or 10 miracles. And specifically they're there so that we can understand aspects of who God is and why we can trust Him to be our Savior, our Creator, our Messiah. John puts in conversations with individuals. One of my favorites is with Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, where he explains to him about new birth. He explains to him from Old Testament, because Nicodemus was an Old Testament scholar, a Hebrew scholar. He explains to him that the Son of Man needs to be lifted up, just like the snake was in the wilderness. And that by believing in that Son of Man, just like when the Israelites looked at that snake, that serpent that was on the post, they could have life. If you want life, you need Jesus. And so we need to know this Jesus. We need to have this Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, so that we can have life. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome or understood it. It doesn't take very long to look around the world, does it, Alan, to see darkness. There's problems in this world. If we're not seeing problems in this world, we first of all haven't gotten up and looked in the mirror, each one of us. We haven't recognized that the political systems, the economic systems, all of these things that man has tried to make to work, they don't work. They fail. In economics is going to be a zero-sum game no matter what you do, okay? Let me give an example, okay? Now, if I'm the keeper of all the money and I'm the one that determines how much is made and where it goes, and so each of you wants to come and get some money, you got to get it from me. Okay, well, that's what each government tries to do. So Mort comes and he gets a loan of $100,000 from me, and I say, that's great, Mort, you can pay me back with interest. Doesn't matter how much interest you pick, any numbers, if he's got to pay me back with interest, where is he going to get that? He's not God. He can't create something out of nothing. He's going to have to get it from somewhere else. So if I'm going to get back money from somebody that they didn't get from me, and I'm the only one that's the supplier of the money, he's got to get it from one of you. So somebody's going to come up short. It's not like everybody can win. In God's economy, everyone can win. You plant an apple seed, and you can get multiple apple trees out of that. Each apple might have multiple trees in it. That fruit that produces tenfold, hundredfold, a thousandfold. Some of us can try to find ways to make money grow, but where is it coming from? The systems that we come up with, we keep wanting to come up with a perpetual motion machine. The best we can do is come up with more efficient ways to use the energy that God already created.
I haven't thought.
Perpetual motion?
Yes, it
has. It's never going to stop.
Chemicals, it swells just 1 degree change in temperature.
And okay.
I've never had to wind it. It's been
You've never had to wind
20
it?
20 years.
That's good. Okay. But it's got chemicals in there. What happens when they lose their efficiency?
Well, that'll probably quit.
You know, even this earth is going to disappear. It's going to burn up. We look at stars in the sky. There's the sun will eventually burn out. It can't burn forever. But God is eternal. He's forever. He can go on and on and on. He's a light that's brighter than our sun. He's brighter than the brightest star. And He shines in the darkness. And there's a couple of different possible translations for this. The darkness has not overcome it, I believe it says in the NIV. A lot of other translations prior to that said the darkness has not understood it. Now, how can darkness understand anything? Well, we're looking at the darkness of the world. The world can't understand the light. In Daniel last week, we read that wicked people are still going to do wicked things. This light is shining. It doesn't take very much light to say that's a light. But I know the lights in my house, they eventually burn out. You have to replace them. You light a candle, it's going to run out of fuel. Even your perpetual motion clock, eventually, something's not going to work. God's the one that gives life. He's the one that says that life is the light of the world. That light is for all mankind. None of us are without excuse. In fact, Paul and David and others talk about how we can look at creation and it's obvious that there's a creator. Life came from somewhere. Everything came from something. Now, that makes it hard to figure out. Okay, now did God create Himself? Well, no, He always was. Okay. How do you think that one through? You know, time is not something he's real concerned about, I don't think. He talks about, you know, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. It's like, it's not real relevant because he's eternal. We celebrate people that live to be over 100. If someone gets to be 102 or 106, it's like, wow, that's a long time. Now let's look at eternal life. This life that Jesus wants to give us. It wouldn't matter if it was 2 years or 2,000 years that you lived. Infinity years can't really compare to that, can it? It's like, okay, there's this little bit and there's infinity. And we can't even come up with a number for it because whatever number you come up with, you can always add another one. So they make a symbol. They kind of do a weird little eight type thing that's asleep and falling over. And they call that infinity. We can come up with symbols for things and for concepts, but we don't really understand those concepts. God understands them, and he's trying to shine light in the darkness. You know, each one of the scientific discoveries that man has been able to make, it's because God has given us the ability to see that. He's shining a light. If you get a brain surgeon that can look into someone's head and find out, okay, well, those cells aren't where they belong, we need to take them out. Or sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They're not God. Every discovery that has been made in the name of Mother Nature or science or whatever other God people want to serve came from our Word God, the one that gives life, the one that gives light. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. It's going to be a fun study, I think. All things were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made that's been made. Does that mean He made my bad attitude? How do we figure all that stuff? How much free will has He given us? These are some of the things that John wants to try to explore as we go through the book. How can we know this life-giving God? Because our words can speak life into other people's lives, or they can speak death or curses. Blessings and curses. And according to Scripture, God's created both. And according to Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a place for everything under the sun. A time and a season. Lord, I want to just acknowledge that Your Word is true, and that there's times where we fully understand it, Lord, and there's some simplicity here in these words that John shares with us, and yet there's some depth beyond understanding. I ask You, Lord, for understanding, and I realize that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that understanding. If I want wisdom and understanding, I need to fear You and turn to You and recognize that You are the Maker, Creator of all things. You are the life giver. You are the light, the one that shines and illuminates understanding to us, God. There's so many things, Lord, that I don't understand, even in my own life, and I ask, Jesus, that You'll shine brighter. Because I know whatever darkness is in me, it's not going to overcome. It's not going to prevail against Your light. Thank You, Jesus, that You're patient, slow to anger, that You're loving, kind, generous, faithful. Grow those things in me, Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Your holy name. Amen.